We're all in this together.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good to have you with us this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. International cooperation was the word over the weekend as world governments held emergency meetings in Washington and Paris. The U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, European Central Bank, and the Swiss National Bank announced they'll all provide unlimited dollar funds to ease the banking crisis. Ashley Milne-Tight tells us more.
Central banks have already poured money into their systems, but banks have been hoarding that cash. Neil McKinnon is chief economist of the ECU Group in London. He says banks have been reluctant to lend and there haven't been enough dollars to go around. That means bank lending rates have climbed.
It's meant that some very big corporates have had problems funding. And of course, if corporates have problems funding, then the real danger is that they just end up going bust. That means that people lose their jobs.
So he says by allowing unlimited access to dollars, the Fed's taking a big step toward getting cash into the hands of those who need it. He says this move could go a long way to ending the liquidity crisis. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says his department is working round the clock to implement its massive bank rescue plan. That plan now includes the government buying an ownership stake in some banks. That's supposed to strengthen bank balance sheets and get them back into the lending business. Mark Zandi is chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com. He's optimistic the Fed plan will work, but he also warns of a downside.
It is going to be, in all likelihood, more costly than some of the other steps they were thinking of. Also, it raises the level of government intervention in the financial system to a significant degree. I don't think it's going to be easy for the government to extricate itself in the future. That's going to take some deft policymaking, and there could be costs involved with that.
For now, investors in the world's stock markets like what they're hearing. After that historic week-long sell-off, Asian and European investors are beginning this week on a buying note. Hong Kong, Australia, Singapore markets all up significantly. Tokyo's Nikkei is not up, but then again, it's not open because of a holiday. Across Europe, shares are also showing big gains today. London, Frankfurt, Paris, all up in the 5-7% range. I've been receiving my quarterly financial statements in the mail recently, which has just been great because that shredded paper increases the carbon content in my compost bin. Now, not all of those quarterly statements are too scary to read. The National Council on Teacher Retirement holds its annual convention this week, and trustees will actually be getting a reassuring report about their pension funds. Danielle Carson has that.
Despite the gyrations in the stock market, public pension funds have remained fairly insulated from the ups and downs. Keith Brainerd with the National Association of State Retirement Administrators offers one reason.
Public pension funds are very long-term investors. They have the ability to ride out market volatility like we're seeing right now.
Public pension funds total more than $2.5 trillion. Brainerd plans to tell the convention trustees that their money is secure because it's diversified in bonds, real estate, and stock.
They don't have all their eggs in one basket. The hit on these funds is not nearly as bad as it would be had their assets not been as diversified as they are.
But the picture isn't nearly as rosy for people with private retirement plans because those are heavily invested in stocks. Pension plans lost as much as $2 trillion this past year, most of which were in IRAs and 401k accounts. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by The Economist, presenting a major report from around the world on the global economic crisis, the panic, the rescues, and what's next. At newsstands and economist.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Many, many countries are suffering in this economic quake. Perhaps the biggest national casualty has been Iceland. Its 3 largest banks have gone bust. The whole economy is in peril. IMF officials have arrived on the island and should unveil a rescue package any day. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has been talking to members of Iceland's largest expatriate community in London.
Iceland's oldest hymn rings out in a small church in London, offering Icelandic émigrés solace in the midst of one of their country's biggest ever disasters.
We have had earthquakes, we have had eruptions, but this one, yeah, it's the biggest, yes. Nothing compares to it.
Siggi Arnason, rector of the Icelandic church in Britain, says his congregations have been packed with bewildered expats.
People are afraid. Yeah, some are angry and frustrated, sad.
Once the poorest people in Europe, they made themselves the richest. Icelanders now face penury again. Among the first casualties in London are hundreds of students, like Kristin, whose money lies frozen and virtually worthless back home.
I haven't been able to move my funds in Iceland to Britain, so I'm unable to pay my rent and I'm unable to pay my school fees.
Many of the émigrés feel they've been reviled by the British press. 300,000 Brits also have money frozen in Icelandic accounts. Siggi Olafsdottir edits an Icelandic magazine in London.
Suddenly, Iceland has become one of the most hated countries in England, which is, you know, unbelievable, really.
Her sister, Alda, says she's even taken the Icelandic sticker off her car. Alda blames a small band of Icelandic entrepreneurs for expanding rapidly abroad and racking up debts that are six times the size of the Icelandic economy.
Because of money people, because of a very few money people and investments being made, it's affected a whole nation.
The émigrés acknowledge that Iceland may now have to fall back on its oldest industry, fishing. But Alda says the Viking spirit will out, Iceland will not fall back into permanent poverty.
We will fight this, we will get through this. It's going to be tough, it's going to take a while, but we will rise again.
In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in warmer Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke, wishing you a fine day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.